servitude in private homes. It goes on to say towards the end here that the government of Barbados doesn't fully comply with the minimum standards for the elimination of trafficking. However, it is making significant efforts to do so. Despite these efforts, particularly an aggressive public campaign begun by government ministries and the continued drafting of a comprehensive anti-trafficking law, the government's overall efforts did not improve over the reporting period. So that is basically what the report said.
That's the same thing I said?
Right.
But you see, this government has a weird way of dealing with issues. Even with the blacklisting, the downgrading, what they usually do is stay in the country and criticize the institutions as opposed to get up or do something to get themselves off of the list. That's the point that I really, you know, trying to make. So they have to do something significant in order to reduce themselves to get themselves off of the tier two listing. Do like Guyana, do like Jamaica, and aggressively go after the people and you know, bring the thing to think.
Okay. That's the point. Let's move on. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Yes, welcome.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm fine, sir. It is in times like this that I wish that I was born among a people who were more vocal and who this morning would get up. I feel this morning as though I should be among 200,000 Barbadians somewhere protesting against this 90-day extension wrong that the government has brought upon the people of Barbados. You see, this is why I'm calling on... Let me first say that this 90-day extension joke is backfiring on the government. And I'm wondering if they're listening to what people are saying, if they're walking among the people. I don't see them anymore. I don't know what they are doing in this 90-day extension. But Bajans are infuriated because we feel as though the government has hijacked our right that Grantley Adams fought for to vote in this country and to elect whatever government we want to elect. And this is why I'm calling on the monthly administration when they assume office to come back to the people of Barbados and let us have a frank discussion about setting an election date so that this wrong that has been done to the Bajan people would never be done again by a government who had 10 years to do the people's business and still is asking for an extra 90 days, and you can't tell what they're doing, whether they're buying or they're selling. Nobody's talking to us, and the entire country is just in limbo.
I want to know. I want them to tell Barbadians whether it is indeed true that Hamans and Porter's, the factories, Hamans and Porter's, have been sold.
Oh, dear. Sir.
And I want, if it is indeed true, what would be the implications of that? Okay.
But what is awful about this whole thing as well is that you have a Minister of Agriculture that has not been seen for the entire year. And yet the government is asking for an extra 90 days to complete its work. It is not right for the government to be holding up the entire country because of party issues. It is not right that because you have not chosen a candidate for St. John, that the entire country is made to suffer while we have to wait for you to finish your business. When I look at how the United States work, from the time that the election is called and everybody down there knows what happens by a certain time, one president begins to transition out while the other one starts to come in. Everything happens smoothly. When I look at how the other leaders in the Caribbean treated their people, Dr. Keith Mitchell and Ganston Wrong, I think that's his name. They came, they spoke to the electorate, they told them when the elections would be and the country's gone back to work. And this is wrong. This is wrong that this morning no Barbadian can tell when election day is. And this right that has been fought for by Sir Grantley has now been turned to Sunday evening comic relief. But this is wrong. I wish that I was born among a people, Mr. Ellis, that was more vocal. I feel this morning that I should be somewhere protesting this wrong against Barbadian people. And this is why I'm calling on the Motley administration, not if, it's when they assume office, to give Barbados a fixed election date so that never again in my lifetime would I see this foolishness happening.
Look, one of the things, though, is that you can't legislate behavior, you know. No matter how much of a fixed date you give, what we are into is a Caribbean region where people believe that once the law allows you to do something, you should do it, rather than have a system where you are listening to people nonetheless.
Yes.
Because the law allows you to do something does not necessarily mean that the people of your country approve of
exactly
what you're doing. And
yeah,
if you are not sufficiently a Democrat, a genuine Democrat is somebody who listens to what the people of a country are saying. We have been in an environment where a person has assumed leadership in this country and has said, basically, look, this is how I have been all of my years.
Yes.
I will not change. And if you, the people, want something different, then you are the ones who have to conform to me. I don't have to conform to you.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we've seen throughout.
Yeah.
And this situation here is consistent with that. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong. And the suggestion that the caller made to you just now, which you were trying to, rebuke him for, it's a suggestion that
I'm
not talking about that one in general, but what I want to say is that people are trying to scratch their minds to see how can we get them moved. You know, what can we do? I'm hearing groups of people talking about approaching the Governor General and asking her, you know, for an audience on the matter, because it just goes to show the level of frustration.
I think that's
that
a waste of time, to tell you the truth. In the current circumstances, I would see that as a waste of time. Barbadians just have to sit down and bide their time on this. But I must tell you that for many people, this is more painful than it appears.
Exactly.
It is more painful than it appears. And it is not because people have had any grand opposition to the government or anything like that. In my judgment, I think this has been a big mistake politically by the Prime Minister. I think that has. When I move around here, I hear enough people who are concerned about it.
Enough? Everywhere you go, Bajans are furious with it. We feel as though we have been hijacked. And I was really shocked yesterday when I heard Kim Tudor, because I listened to your program yesterday afternoon, when I heard Kim Tudor saying, oh, the elections are not overdue. But the elections are overdue. The government has asked for a 90-day extension, which means that the election date is overdue. But anyway, sir, I thank you for your audience.
Okay. Again, I ask the question, has the administration sold the old Porter's and Heyman's factories? And to whom have they sold those factories, if they have indeed sold them? It is my understanding that if Porter's is indeed sold, it will also have implications for the supply of water to the Port Vale sugar factory. And the word on the ground suggests that the government needs to tell us whether this is indeed so and when they were sold, if they were sold. Okay. Down to brass tacks. You're on the
Hello.
Air.
Good morning.
Yes, welcome.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Ellis. I'm a first-time caller.
Yes, welcome.
Hi, I'm calling in pertaining to a matter at school that I've been dealing with for a while now.
Yes.
I just visited the school to take my niece back to school because she was sent home because she didn't have her work. But the teacher told me she sent her home because she didn't have the workbook. So I asked the teacher if she could rejoin the class. She said yes. And then I asked the teacher, can I ask you a question? It was not rude. I was not disrespectful. It was calm. I asked the teacher, Mom, I see two students sitting in front of work, but when they came back home? She said no. The teacher then started to shout, holler, say she's going to call the police. I said, Mom, you don't need to get on in this kind of manner. I'm just asking a simple question. She made it seem as though I was in the wrong. I was doing her something harmful, which I wasn't. Then she called another teacher, and the teacher didn't even want to talk or have a conversation about the matter because it wasn't right. I just asked a simple question. I just meant to ask, but how could you send back home a child not knowing if the child has somebody home?
The school has a head a principal?
Sir, I've been to the principal on numerous occasions.
Numerous occasions? So this
yes.
isn't the first time?
No.
So this is a running battle that you have with this teacher?
Exactly.
Okay.
And it feels as though the
So that is what informed her reaction this morning?
Probably. I don't know. But on the teacher tells my niece, go back home and tell your mother. Whenever my sister goes across by the school, she tells, look at she out there. That kind of thing that is not right at a school.
Listen, I want to say this to you. I ain't born last night, huh?
Yes, sir.
Because I know how a lot of people behave in this country. And a lot of, you might not be the person behaving like that, but a lot of people go in those circumstances and are obnoxious and bad behave, and then they expect that they will be treated with dignity.
It's true.
So, first of all, I would expect that the people who are running our schools are reasonable and level-headed people. So if you meet a teacher who is behaving in a less than level-headed manner, I would expect that if you went to the principal of the school, that person would be somebody who would want to listen to what you're saying and weigh the two positions and then determine, we can find a solution here. The very fact that you're saying to me that this is something that has been happening over time and with a degree of regularity makes me question just what are you doing to make this situation so bad. What
sir,
is it that you are doing?
Sir.
Yes, please.
Only as soon as the little girl got into class, for this has been happening with this teacher, never throughout the school year, this child was going to school at this school.
But this is not about the child, you know. This is about you and the relationship that you have with her teacher and most likely with her principal. You need to perhaps step back and ask the question whether the approach that you are using may not be creating a more difficult situation. You may. I mean, I'm just hearing your side of it. And remember, there's
true.
Always more than one side to a story.
It's true, but let me tell you this is my first time going across by the school and dealing with this.
But you didn't tell me so just now. You told me this is the first time you're dealing with the workbook. But you told me also that you have had an ongoing feud of some sort.
My sister and I have been involved because I listened to my sister. I tried to go, and it was with my sister. But this is the first time I went on my own to take back my niece to school and hold the teacher at
All right, hold on. Let me try to understand what's going on here. Your sister is the one who's had conflict
with
the school.
She's mother. She's not conflict because she doesn't seem to go in on mine or Ruben, and this is my first time.
What has she had then? How would you describe it? How would you describe the relationship between your sister and the school? How would you describe it?
I'm gonna let you talk to my sister.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good morning. It's still early. It's just about 16 minutes after 11 o'clock.
Sorry about
Tell
that.
Tell me, what's been happening between you and the school?
Well, this is the first time I hear him. Well, this is the first new teacher I ever teach my daughter, right? Because my daughter was going to school there from reception to now. And I never had a complaint from no teacher with my daughter. As soon as my daughter got this teacher now, I hear all kinds of things.
So how many times have you had to go to the school?
More than five times.
10 or 12. Okay.
Yeah.
So that then informs what happened today, because there is this ongoing confrontation between yourself and the teacher. And then when your sister turns up this morning, it is against that backdrop. Now, after 10 or 12 times, I'm asking this question.
Yeah.
Clearly there is conflict. Have you been to the Ministry of Education on this matter?
Well, I didn't went yet, but when I went to the school, I ain't getting satisfaction. So I told myself I'm gonna take it to that level now, because again, they same thing happening to my daughter all the time.
Ten or twelve times is way too much.
Yes.
The first order of business though.
Hold on a minute.
Ideally, you need somebody to intervene on your behalf to see if you can work out, some amicable settlement here over the issues. But in the absence of that, then you're going to have to go to the Ministry of Education and say that you need to get their assistance in bringing this matter to some proper conclusion, because you can't have your child and you and the teachers involved in this ongoing conflict. And now it has reached a stage where it is not just you. It is now your sister involved.
Yes.
Okay. And as I said to her, part of this sometimes has to do with how we approach the problem.
It's true. But I ain't a person that will go there and behave in the regards way.
You don't have to behave. You don't have to behave in that way, but you may in your own way.
She have a problem with my daughter. She will put my daughter out of the classroom and all kind of things.
I don't need to get into the details right now. What I do know, the most important part of what you're telling me is that you have a problem with the way that this matter is being handled. And clearly, they have a problem with the way that you are handling the matter too. Okay? So I'm saying to you that if you've been to the school on so many occasions and you can get no resolution.
I can ask myself to let you know what situation happened at the school. My daughter,
I don't need those details right now. I don't need those details. It is not going to help you. It isn't going to help your child by coming to Barbados and giving Barbados this one-sided picture of all that has gone wrong. What we want is for you to get some kind of solution to the conflict. Bring it to an end, because your child is at the center of it.
This is beyond ridiculous, because my daughter in class 3.
How old is your child now?
My daughter is 10, and she got to go through this stage with her teacher all the time till she leave the school. This is ridiculous.
Ma'am, I am recommending to you, you can't try this in public. This is not a place to deal with it. I'm going to recommend to you what I said earlier. This is a matter that has reached the stage where there's a need for some form of intervention. And I would strongly recommend that you take this matter to the Ministry of Education in light of the fact that it appears as though you don't feel as though you're getting satisfaction when you deal with the principal. You've sought to deal with it at that level, from what I'm told, but that has not worked. Okay?
All right then. All right, thanks.
Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program. Hello? You're on the air. Hello? Okay. Somebody says that the Constitution of Barbados needs to be amended in relation to this 90-day period between the dissolution of Parliament and the elections date. A clause should be inserted and criteria set out where that period is used only for emergencies. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air. 4341790. Hello?
Yes, sir. Good ear.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, good ear. Good ear. Sometime I spoke to you about probably 2 years ago. In regards to the fencing around Andrew's sugar factory.
Yeah.
And you said to me that I said that it was going to decay like the one that was wrong 4 seasons. But you had concurred with me, but I later found out that it was moss galvanized sheet. However, all that time, I think Andrews was beginning to be dismantled. And the high on the agenda was that there would have been this state of the art factory worth in the vicinity of $800 million that would compensate for all collecting all the sugar cans in Barbados. I then told you it is good, but I am wondering what they are going to grind. At the time, Barbados had a very, very low rate of sugar canes on the island. Again, they went in to plant some more habitat for monkeys in the bed by putting river tamarind that has now beginning to be overgrown. One of the things I want to find out, what are going to be done with those fields of river tamarind that are planted in the bell. That has created bush in the country, added bush. I'm wondering what is going to be done with them. That's one point. The next one is that I've seen in the papers this morning issues about the sugar industry, the starting the crop. I think you would have seen it. Mr. Befford there and the manager of the factories, our factory situation in the papers this morning. But nobody ain't going to tell you. I have not seen there when the factory going to start. But from my knowledge, it is a bit devastating to the sugar industry. And what little we can garner from this industry, I mean, it's being now killed. So I'm wondering what, at least I have not even heard one person from the government saying anything at all about this important issue in Barbados. But further to that, every night, or regularly, rather than saying every night, regularly, CBC is on a trail with the Democratic Labour Party representative in the city, showing the garbage that he's moving, which I believe.
And he only moving the garbage because they need enough trucks in the Sanitation Service Authority to do the job that people are using their taxes for. When it comes down to the point where the individual representative or candidate has to go down in an area to move garbage, it is only a manifestation of what has happened at the national level.
Well, I hope that the people can see it that way, but CBC, that the Just Gas Trap is, in my opinion, wasting money on that. He don't need CBC to highlight him. I don't think that he's the only body doing these things. And it is not right. And I'm saying that you have that situation that money can be wasted by that route. But yet still, the people who involved in the sugar industry this morning is saying that they ain't get paid yet when the sugar crop is going to start. Every year in my lifetime that they have been starting up of the sugar industry.
What's the future of sugar? What is the future? Look, you guys are too narrow on this, you know.
This is not narrow.
Sugar industry. The issue here is, what is the future of the sugar industry? And how much less or greater a future it will have in light of the delay that we have experienced over the recent past? That is one of the issues. The other matter that you need to look at very carefully with the sugar sector. The sugar itself is perceived as being kind of tenuous, uncertain as to whether what we are going to do. But you see the sugar lands, you see those old factories and stuff like that, they got some people who got their eyes on them and they are looking at them for all types of purposes, including setting up condominiums. That is what you have to watch. While we are sitting down here talking about the sugar industry, they got some other people who got other plans for those lands. And the issue here is, at what price are they going to get it? Knockdown price? All right?
I agree, but that's the same reason that those people were on the parliament there yesterday. When the lady Kim Truda was there, why she didn't talk about some of them things? This is the ideal thing that this present government is doing that should have been discussed yesterday. It only comes to the fore now. They're selling the things. Nobody don't know.
I want them to tell me whether they have indeed sold those particular farms.
The Prime Minister said in the Keir Hill issue, nothing can happen unless he sanctions it. He said that, and then at the end of the day, it was found out that he didn't sign the documents long before. This is where the situation is. These people are not being fair to the masses of this country. And you got a situation that Chris Sinclair yesterday is saying, when complaining he had, that then a problem with the foreign reserves, the bank getting money and all these kind of things. Nobody is addressing that. Every time he speaks, he's fooling Barbados. You got a situation in favor this morning. IDB gives central bank poor ranking. Barbados is in serious trouble, Mr. Ellis, and you know that.
But I'm not going to be in a position to try to say otherwise to you. I want to invite the people who make the decisions to defend the criticisms that are being directed against the way things are and what has happened over the last couple of years. You know, with the best of intentions and the best will in the world, things can go wrong. But it is required that you at least communicate with the people so that they can have a better appreciation of why some of the challenges exist, and more significantly, what you're going to be able to do to get over it. And ultimately, we have to do this together, you know. Whether people are BLP or DLP or Solutions Barbados or BIM or whoever, UPP, we have to find that consensus that will take us forward. I think there are other people who have been through tough times and they've been able to emerge as a result of that consensus, but we need to act in that way. I thank you very much. Yes.
Before you go, Mr. Ellis, if you can remember the licks when I forget for putting a dump down Greenland, I mean, and that people still, this present government still refer to it as against the background of the things that are happening now. I thank you, sir.
This person says the masses haven't been fair to themselves because they wanted too many free rides. Now they're paying. Will somebody else answer that for me, please? Portville work. Okay. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
Yeah, yes, sir. I call it, consider this this medication that gone up, right?
Yes.
I would like to hear the gentleman straight at Tenetree, you understand, to come on the program, you understand, and defend the government. I would know if you don't have no family that's get this kind of medication, you understand, and I would like all the Democratic supporters that if they just go and get this medication and hear what they say, you understand, consider when they have to go and find out when they used to get it at one price, how it gone up. And if they get to support this government. And not only that, you understand, is they talking about, they keep on talking about the prison that was built, you understand, and it's still the situation, you understand. People unemployed, can't get no work, you understand, and we're going to lead to. And not only that, right, the minister, the candidate that ran for the city was shown on television taking the garbage. You understand? They is in power, but they don't have the city. But when Mr. Todd had the for the city, what he did, it seemed like the only way that they could do things is when they does not have the constituency. He come out showing that they take a low garbage, you understand? And they want to win back the city to do what? You understand? But they may do that to rent them in power. And the medication that sometimes when you go to the hospital, the pensioners, they get the same medication for the eyes. It's out 3 and 4 months. You understand? And the person bring out the eyes and the little pension that they're giving them, they got to buy food and then to go and buy medication to save their life. This government making beer sport. Because if you look at the two parties, the last time that the LP was in power, when they cut the civil servant wage free, you understand? And the BLP get a rent on after had to restore it and put something in place that government do not tax the people money. Now, this time, when they get in power, they got to put in so that Mr. the LP, when they get back in that, they do not feed the people of the country. That's what they do. And the money that they take, the amount of money that they spend on the independent, saying that all that money, people could get back the tax return. You understand? And people say they're suffering every day. And the Minister of Finance and Mr. Innes, they're flying kite. You understand? They're enjoying themselves. And they don't have to worry. They're getting their money. You understand? And people just suffering. And they're smiling. You understand?
There was a recent incident here, you know, and there was a video that was circulating. In that video, there were some obvious things. But you know, there was something that stood out in my head, and it was this. There are so many people who put on their clothes and go to work every day. You see them on the streets, dressed in uniform and sometimes without uniform. But if you had a chance to look at where they come from, you see the kind of pressure that people endure. For all that is said about the effects and that sort of thing, those types of pictures remind you that there are a lot of people who don't live lavishly, who are struggling to move out of poverty, trying to make something for themselves. And that was what struck me a lot in watching that particular video that was being circulated. A stark reminder of the reality that faces so many people in this country. Because it is advantageous to some to project Barbadians as being people who live high off the hog, do exceedingly well, travel every year and that sort of thing. But a lot of people don't go through that. And that's something. Yes?
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Ellis, but remember, listen, no time with sugar industry. The warehouse sugar, where I was coming, they had a lot of sugar factory, and they closed down one by one. All up to fill the high sugar cane, what there is now, houses. Sugar is going out slowly, but surely, you understand? And later in future, you understand, our children ain't going to know that about the sugar cane, or not the store, because it's slowly going out of production. Understand? When they're going to build a big sugar factory to put what cane going to cut to where that sugar cane, that sugar factory. You understand? Okay. There's no more sugar cane and the country on tourists, and slowly but surely, tourists going to become the same as sugar cane. Thing of the past.
I think the underlying concern here, though, is that the Barbados economy is just appearing to move more and more into being a tourism economy. I think that's the undercurrent of what people are saying here. I understand, though, that, you know, even we are starting to beat sugar and say that you're not supposed to be eating, having so much sugar in your drinks and that sort of thing. And, you know, sugar is having a tough time, generally. But the discussion has been around what are the other things that you may be able to do with sugar. And to that extent, there are people who feel that we should be looking at those options rather than just looking at sugar in the traditional way. Somebody says to me here on this matter of the sugar lands that you need to keep your eyes on the cliquot plantations and what's happening with those. Okay? Keep your eyes on those. They tell me that they have noticed that they are being surveyed. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm well, and you?
Not too bad. Mr. Ellis, I turned on not long ago, and I heard somebody huffing and puffing about this election debt. This election debt is what election is keeping Barbados from functioning. The parliament doesn't run Barbados. And whether the parliament sits or not, Barbados will run. What I don't understand about this election debt is that Mr. Sandiford in 91 was given 5 years. Came back with 2 years to spare. I didn't hear anybody say he should have gone for five. Huh? Mr. Arthur in 2013 came a year early. I didn't hear anybody say he should have gone in 5 years. A prime minister had the option to call election whenever the law allows. And if this particular administration has gone over by 90 days, it doesn't mean that they're doing nothing. Ministers still have to go to work. Parliamentary still have to go to work. Is that the MPs normally might have none to do. But all the government ministers are still working, as usual, until after nomination day. That's what the law allows. So I don't know what all the huffing and puffing is about. Trinidad, some years ago, had an election, and it was a tight 18-18. And Parliament didn't sit for close to 18 months. And Trinidad didn't fall apart. Why are people like that? The law, you're acting within the law, and people are still complaining. When you act, say the law, they say corrupt. So you're corrupt either way, whether you're acting the law or outside the law. I don't understand what the problem is. If the Prime Minister, in his right, decides that he wants to extend it for this period of time, maybe the first time, but you didn't break any laws. And for those people who are talking about Barbados drifting in Barbados, I took up the paper the other day, the Barbados Advocate, March the 19th, Monday. And I came across some statistics that were put up by the Caribbean Development Bank in this annual economic review. I want to share some of these statistics with you, sir. And I hope you can make a note of them. It says here that Barbados had a growth rate of 1%, with an average unemployment rate of 10.2%. Grenada, a growth rate of 4.5%, mainly selling passports. Unemployment rate of 24%. St. Lucia, growth rate of 2.9% with an unemployment rate of 20%. St. Vincent, no growth rate reported, unemployment 25%. Jamaica, 1.7%. Now remember, Jamaica is in the IMF program. They're sitting in front of the laps of the IMF. Their growth rate is 1.7% with an unemployment rate of 10.4%. Now, that looks pretty close to me to what Barbados has, and Barbados in the IMF program. So all the huffing and puffing and Barbados ain't doing this. And when you compare your statistics, Barbados is still holding its own.
Barbados, may I suggest to you, though?
Yes, sir.
That in looking at the unemployment statistics, you also have to take into consideration the deep concern that exists about the deficit in particular and the extent to which that deficit has been fueled by the government having as high unemployment rate within the public sector as it does. Now, you know full well that there are many people who are saying that it is unsustainable.
You mean the deficit or the debt?
No, the employment levels within the public sector. And when I say the public sector, I'm talking about the general civil service and the statutory corporations.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying then that
the employment levels that you are alluding to, you're referring to, must be taken in the context of what is also being said about the deficit situation and the country's overall financial situation.
Mr. Ellis, I see where you're coming from with this, but let me just say this, you see. you can push up, the unemployment rate and San Juan people. You got a choice. Every government has to make a choice. I see Grenada here with 24%.
But if you're, but my friend, if the fundamental point is that what you're doing cannot be sustained, it is only a matter of time before you're going to have to do it. If it's unsustainable, you can't do. So this thing about, you're not sending home nobody, you ain't sending home nobody for now.
Ms. Ellis, the public service is the largest employer in Barbados. If you send home public service, it's going to impact throughout the private sector and the retail sector.
No, but that's true. But you know what, the core issue is? If you can continue to do that without having any effect, fine. But if you cannot continue on this course because of the very issues that have been raised in relation to the deficit and the debt and that sort of thing, then what? I mean, it is only a matter of time before your chickens will come home to roost. The other side of that is that if you do not stem the hemorrhage early enough, when you actually are forced to do it, the scale is likely to be much bigger than if you had taken early action. So that is the other side of that argument.
But let me ask you something. The commercial banks in Barbados have been reporting something called excess liquidity. It's the first time in the life of this country that I can remember that commercial banks have reported excess liquidity in the banking system. So much so that they're taking the people's deposits and they even pay them anything as interest. Don't you see that as a problem, that's creating a problem? Because
but do you understand why that's happening?
What's happening? No, I don't understand what's happening. It's happening because the banks want it to happen.
No.
The banks are using the depositors' money.
That's one side of it.
The banks are using the depositors' money, giving them 10 cents on $100 or something, which is really, really tantamount to robbery, high rare robbery. And this is something that the previous government and the central bank is going to have to answer for at some point in time, because he's the one that gave me the authority to do that. But he can talk, but he's going to have to answer at some point in time. The other point I'm trying to make, sir, is that the commercial bank is supposed to take that money and invest it, whether they invest it in government paper or whether they invest it in private sector. They are supposed to invest. They are impeding the growth of the economy by just keeping the money in bags up in the central bank, doing nothing. That's where the problem
is. This is typical of what I hear a lot from some Democratic Labour Party supporters who spend a lot of time trying to beat up on the private sector interests in this country and portray them as evil and not having the country's best interests at heart. That's the underlying issue here. What about a word called confidence? What about creating the enabling environment where people would feel that they can risk their money? That at the core of the issue, a bank and a business don't want to take people's money and risk it unnecessarily. And that if you do not create the enabling environment, they're going to hold on to it. And they're going to take it and put it wherever they can to avoid putting it at risk. Isn't that relevant to this issue?
Yeah, it is. But let me tell you something else, too. The IDB report early in last year reported...
You mean the one today that's in the featured newspaper?
No. This is the CDB.
Because I can ask you about that when I finish.
This is the CDB report I'm referring to just now. But the IDB report early in the year, last year, reported that 70% of our economic assets are now owned by foreign interests. 70%, Mr. Ellis. When Mr. Sandiford had to go to the IMF, we still owned the bank, the insurance company, and Barbados Shipping and Trading was totally owned and controlled by Barbadians. Those assets are now in the hands of foreigners.
Okay.
And I want to tell the government of the central bank this, that when you sell your assets to non-nationals, the profits don't stay in Barbados, the profits leave Barbados. So if you want to know what's happened to the foreign exchange account, Trinidad businesses in Barbados find they're repatriating money, don't repatriate in Barbados. They're going to the central bank and they're going to repatriate it in foreign exchange. And you can't tell them don't do it because they own the properties here. We have sold.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Since 2008, the Barbados Labour Party has not been running Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
The Democratic Labour Party inherited a Barbados that you portray as you have just done.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you something. So they were totally powerless to do anything to encourage Barbadians to own more and to build business and to take back business that they perceive that they have lost. What is it that was standing in the way of the Democratic Labour Party that would have stopped them from doing that?
Mr. Ellis, I am going to say this. I have already said on one more occasion, I would like to see this government, if it's one thing to do, is to restore a local savings bank.
They did not. That is what you would like. Arthur, let's be,
yeah.
the question I asked you
mm.
is what was stopping them, not what you would like to see them do, because you are plugging the former administration or previous administrations, but you are behaving as though somebody else has been running Barbados for the last 10 years. The Democratic Labour Party that you have been fully supportive of over the period, did they not have ample opportunity to bring about meaningful change in those areas? And I want to put to you, since you are here to defend the position, that on the other side of the coin, the criticism has been that a handful of people in this country have been the ones who have been the beneficiaries of that growth.
Ms. Ellis, let me ask you a question. This is kind of...
So respond to that.
If you and your wife got a divorce, you and your wife went and got a property. She has left you. You got to support her and you got to pay back the mortgage. You think that puts you in a strong position? Huh? That's the same to your
blood. You know what would happen?
Wait a minute. Barbados has had to pay back Dodge Prison.
You know what has made that worse?
What?
The downgrades. You see, you are talking as though everything else remains constant. But it is because of those significant, the 20 downgrades or so, they have made it far more difficult for us to pay back loans.
Mr. Ellis, the downgrades only apply
to
when you borrow money. Okay?
It also applies to what you are paying back, the interest that you are paying. What are you saying?
I am not aware of that, sir, because if you have a written contract to pay back 8%, if you have a written contract
you shock me.
No, wait a minute. If you have a written contract to pay back 8%, then your downgrade can't affect you.
So why don't you go and have a look? Have a look, for instance, at what was written into the Credit Suisse loan. It's an amazing thing that you come here to talk these issues, but you are not as fully seized of how the system works.
Ms. Ellis, I work in public service. I am sure you didn't work in public
service. That was before downgrades. You obviously were working there before the downgrades.
The downgrades are opinions by people who passed through here for 3 days and say what they want.
But they're opinions that matter, though.
But they might matter, yes. Because
they might not matter to you.
Any opinion in a small country matters. That's why we get blacklisted every couple of weeks. Europe blacklists us. That's why every couple of months, the fact go from America tell us we got to send reports and this week.
Before you go, you talk about the blacklist. Look at this IDB report here, so on the back page of the Nation newspaper, low grade. IDB gives central bank poor ranking. And it speaks about the independence and transparency of a central bank influences its credibility and its effectiveness in controlling inflation and providing a proper environment for economic growth and prosperity. However, the Central Bank of Barbados shows low levels of both independence, ranked 84th out of 89 countries worldwide on the Central Bank Independence Index, and transparency, an overall transparency index score of 2. Within a range of 0 to 15. Somebody walking into Barbados, you see just now that the ratings agencies is just these people coming in here and washing their mouths on us. Look at that. What do you say to that?
I will give you Central Bank the same rating, because as far as I'm concerned, the Central Bank has not been impressive over the last 5 to 7 years. And the previous governor, who is now mouthing off a lot, he is part of the problem. That is why I've been complaining.
But he's a creature of the Minister of Finance.
Just a minute. But he is the executive in his
own. Do you accept that the governor of a central bank in Barbados is a creature of the Minister of Finance?
Yeah, but if you're a creature of the Minister of Finance and you don't like me, Minister of Finance, John, chuck in your resignation. I will not stand for this. I am gone.
Okay, we gotta go.